have some fun doing it. But I won't lie. I'm one of those people that is consistently late. Consistently.
Wow. You know, at least you're honest.
I'm gonna switch it up a little bit. And I really want, Sergeant Moffitt and Mike to jump in on this because, my brother, Clayton, he was saying another part of his training in the military, was trafficking. Okay. And how to recognize who was in trouble. We can start with Brother Moffitt or Mike. Brother Moffitt.
What are you talking about? Human trafficking?
Yes, right, sir. Trafficking.
Human trafficking. And the question again was?
The question is, he was telling about his experience. And he said, and his experience and his teachings was how to recognize who was in trouble. Now, let me lay this foundation for you, because I know throughout the country, a lot of our young women are being trafficked, kidnapped, and eventually killed. Let's talk about that.
Okay, it's trafficked, not trafficked. Don't do that again. Trafficked.
I said trafficking was part of his training.
And then you said trafficking later on. But anyway,
this is what I have to go through, during the 23 too.
Was somebody out in radio land that was saying, did that joker just say trafficking? And you know, there's some people who will think that that's a word and go out and say it. So we have to make sure to understand that there was just a blooper.
It's
a flub. It wasn't a real word. Anyway,
trafficked.
Oh, Lord, let it go.
Here's English 101. English 101 from and why are you laughing, Dr. Sims?
All right, because you always do that.
And I always do nothing. I don't always do anything. Oh. So anyway, Brother Moffitt, I thought that Brother Moffitt had the floor. You had to jump in there. Oh my God.
That's just like you said, electric vote.
That's why I'm single.
What does that have to do with your status? That is
terrible. I know.
Let it go.
Brother Moffitt, I think Brother Moffitt has the floor.
William, I don't have a lot of experience. Is there someone else speak? I use common sense when it came to human trafficking and stuff. Oftentimes when in a patrol environment, you know, you would come across these houses that were, had quite a few people in them. And, you know, coyotes would take a large number of people, and they would stash them in certain residential houses for a short period of time. And it was obvious that, you know, there was something going on there, because, you know, I mean, you could kind of tell by the way the people were living that this wasn't no permanent housing that they were. So you look for signs of things like that, and you can kind of spot what might be a human trafficking situation. Then there's that other type of, you know, where people are taking advantage of young girls and, you know, getting them involved in street level, you know, prostitution and things like that. That's kind of a different ball game. But, Mike can add something to this, but I didn't, you know, do a lot of those kinds of investigations from what I did. So.
Right. And Mike, you know, and there's another part of that too. Our young ladies, ladies getting kidnapped off the streets because somebody followed them. It was something they may have been stalked on Facebook or some of our social media. Now, I know we're getting into the cyber part of this, but hey, it's all dangerous and it's all a crime. And these nefarious individuals, they have so many ways to get away with just horrible crimes that we have to do our best to be vigilant of and do what we can to eliminate. Mike, please, we want your take on this.
Oh, well, my department is very proactive in this. And if you ever watch the news releases, the press releases from our department, you can see they've got a whole task force that's made up of multi-agency that are going after human trafficking, because it is a huge problem here, especially in Southern California, where we're close to the border as well. And we get a lot of influx of people coming in from Mexico, from all around the world coming through Mexican border to the U.S. And it is a huge, huge business for these cartels to traffic in particular young ladies. So we do, our department does a huge sweep all the time on a daily basis, where they separate these ladies out and they figure out whether they're captive or not. If I was in uniform, I would separate, if I thought there was something hokey going on, I would separate that young lady away from whoever I thought their handler might be. And I would question them separately, make sure they're okay. If I wasn't in uniform, I would observe and I'd call in a patrol unit that's in uniform. It's just easier to do it that way. And then I would, again, we would separate the young lady out and I would talk to her, and then the uniform officer would talk to the supposed handler. We match the stories, which is common. Sergeant Moffitt will tell you, we try to find discrepancy in the two stories. Are they telling the same exact story, or are you getting whole different stories? And then we can get to the bottom. But human trafficking is a horrible, horrible crime. I can't imagine just the pain that the individual would go through, and the loved ones of that individual going through that as well, with their loved one missing and not knowing what ever happened to them. And a lot of them do end up hooked on drugs and end up dead because of that. They just, they give up. So again, very, very large problem, especially anywhere in the southern states where there's easy access to the Mexican border, where people from all over the world are coming through, and you don't know what their intent is. You can't look at somebody and tell if they're necessarily good or evil. You know, you can use your intuition and your gut feeling and the hair on the back of your neck, which serves you right. And that does exist, by the way. We talk about our five senses. Well, I really think there is a sixth sense, and I think animals have it, and I think human beings have it if they listen to it. Because I've been in situations where everything looked fine, and it wasn't. And I listened to my gut, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I backed out for whatever reason. And it turned out that my gut feeling was correct. Mm-hmm. And I've had that happen. I was heavily involved. I was director for search and rescue for the county. We had, at the time, 21 teams and 550 people throughout our county, which is over 20,000 square miles. You can put four small states into just this county. It's that big. And doing search and rescue, I had feelings about where I thought somebody was, and I couldn't explain why. I just had that gut feeling. So I listened to my gut, and all of you should too. If something's not feeling right, probably isn't right. So, yeah, if you suspect something's going on with someone that you believe to be a victim of human trafficking, by all means, pay attention. Don't intervene. Make good mental notes or physical notes. You got a cell phone. You can take pictures carefully, take video carefully, write down license numbers carefully. You know, you don't want to put yourself in the mix where now you're going to be a victim as well. I hope that helps.
It does. And you know, I want to go around the panel too. And, what you said, I think is very, very important is, folks, pay attention to your gut feelings. And I want to start with you on that and what Mike just said about that, because I think that's so important. Now we're going into something that's really, really spiritual, because you're tapping into your inner self. Yeah, it's amazing. Some people, I do feel that we get signals on something that feels good, something's going to happen good, or something may not feel quite right. And then we just jump in there and say, okay, I'm going to do it anyway.
It brings to mind several years ago, on the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, we had a family on as our guest. We couldn't tell their names. We had to give them aliases just for the interview, because the daughters had been targeted for sex trafficking. They had a lot of children in their area that they were living in at the time who come up missing. And some very odd things were taking place concerning their daughters. The good news is they were parents who were very, very protective. So, you know, even though their children were older, they still walked with them, you know, to the bus stop, going to school. And, you know, when they were coming home, you know, they were protected. Let's just put it that way. But they had a disturbing, break-in at their home. They had someone show up at their home that, you know, they didn't know, and their daughters noticed, you know, someone, around them, a face, you know, coming up over and over and over again. And so they of course had to go to the police about the incidents that kept occurring. And come to find out, the police, you know, had to take them to an area where they could talk to them privately to let them know that there was someone, you know, that they were working with, that they were investigating within the police department, who was working with traffickers. And so they didn't want that person to be, aware of the conversation and, or the fact that they knew that their daughters were the targets. They knew that the girls had already been quote unquote paid for. The girls were, they fit sort of a type. They weren't necessarily parochial school trained, but that's what the person ordered. They went to a private school, so they had to wear uniforms that was close enough. And the reason that the police felt that those girls were not abducted sooner, was because they wanted, the person who paid for them wanted them in pristine condition. So they were trying to do it in such a way where nobody had to be hurt, and to try to get them away from their parents, and it wasn't working. So they were getting more and more violent. So the police were like, it's time for you to leave. Don't do any, don't go back to the house. Get your kids, just go. And they were literally escorted to the border line of the police officer's jurisdiction. Left everything behind. Their kids didn't even get to go home from school. Picked the kids up from school, left, and never looked back. So when we talk about sex trafficking or any kind of trafficking, because, you know, we think sex, because we hear a lot about that, with the Jeffrey Epstein's and whatnot, but it's so much more than that. Trafficking is modern day slavery, in a lot of different ways. You've got people being trafficked for drugs. You've got people being trafficked for labor. There's even, there's an international trafficking system. You know, we like, you know, we talk a lot about organized crime in geographic areas, you know, like say, for instance, we're talking about New York or Chicago or something like that. And even, you know, organized crime working together across state lines, but trafficking is an international enterprise, and people don't get that. It's really difficult to find your loved ones, because they won't necessarily be here, in the same state. They could be in another country for all you know. And in some cases, there are people who are put on boats out to sea to work, because international waters aren't policed by anybody. So where's, you know, so it's hard to say it's a crime when you are outside the jurisdiction of, say, the Coast Guard, when you've reached the point where you've crossed that threshold into the of the nautical miles and you've hit the open sea. So there are lots of different ways that people are trafficked, whether it's, you know, using them as slave labor to do work that you want them to do. But sex trafficking, targeting children, is a very serious thing, and it can happen not just in person, but they can do it online. They can do it in a lot of different ways. So you need to be careful, about
even more the reason to be on your P's and Q's when you're traveling abroad. Cause
yes,
can you imagine your loved one being abducted when you're on a vacation, and now they've been, you know, caught up in this trafficking, international trafficking, outside of the country? Terrible.
It is horrible. Oh, you know, I remember that program, and thank you so much. And, guys, it was absolutely amazing. That show, I remember listening to the entire broadcast, and thank you so much. And I was astonished because, like you said, this family, they had to really go in into witness protection, or what do you call that? They had to be protected. And you can you imagine, Mike, Brother Moffitt, Danny, how, I mean, oh my God, you'd be so afraid and concerned for your daughters, your family in it, whether it's daughters, sons, or whatever it is. And to know that your daughters have been sold to somebody, hey, one of you guys jump in. Mike, it was astonishing. This show right here was absolutely, it was amazing. I don't know how Ann landed this guest. I really don't. I don't know.
I know the mother. I know her. And, okay. I was introduced to her by somebody. We got to be friends. So, and she and her husband and children, cause they have three daughters. They were all willing to talk about it, but only under certain conditions.
That's right.
That's what made them comfortable.
Wow. I was blown away, brother.
There's another end of trafficking that I've seen a huge influx. All of this is horrible, and all of it is on the rise, which doesn't say much for us as human beings. But the other thing that I believe is just so evil is that they're trafficking in human organs. And again, it's international. So what they will do is they'll find somebody that has the correct blood type or whatever to harvest their kidneys or their liver or their heart or lungs. And it's big, big business because you pay high dollar for human organs. So that's in the mix as well. I would like to go back to just a little bit here on the way that they traffic and the way they get people. If I talked about it this last time, please one of you interrupt me, but did I talk about geotagging and taking pictures on the phone? As part of cybercrime?
You did briefly talk about geotagging, people using, because most photographs taken by a cell phone has data in it that, you know, will tell where it was taken at, what time correct. It was taken, and things like that. And if you don't know how to remove it.
Let me briefly once again cover it. So when you're using the new technical phones and all, your GPS tracking is on for the most part. You can turn it off, but for the most part, it's on. And when you've got, let's say we're talking about these two young ladies that you were talking about, Ann, where they have their cell phone, they're taking pictures, they, let's say they're on the cheerleading squad. So they get their new uniforms, they take pictures at home with their new uniforms on and send it out to their friends. They take pictures when they're at school. So those pictures at school, those pictures at home, and when they go to McDonald's after school, they take pictures there, or the Starbucks, they take pictures there. So somebody that knows how to do it, and it's not very hard to do, you click on that picture and you get the geotagging information, which is, for the lack of a better way to put it, it's the longitude and latitude of where the picture was taken. Mm. And there's another form of it called UTM, Universal Transverse Mercator, which is a decimal way of doing location anywhere on Earth. And it's accurate usually within about 15 feet. The military can get down to 1 foot, but for our tracking system, it's usually 15 feet. It's accurate. So now within 15 feet, I know where this young lady lives. I know that she's a cheerleader, so she's probably a nice-looking possible victim for human trafficking. You know which school she goes to. You know where she goes after school, to the Starbucks or the McDonald's. So you have all this information. So to abduct somebody when you know all that information about them becomes very easy to do if you're evil, if you're these type of people that are just don't belong on this earth. Well, so be very careful about your children. Go ahead.
I wanted to jump in here, but I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, because we look at the way people are abducting children, young girls, and the whole basis of it is to be watchful of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. They have so defined how to abduct someone. And I pay very close attention. And these things are not just put on media or YouTube. I'm watching very closely. You can't be, because they're snatching children out of people's arms while they're in the stores. And not so much as like you're saying, yes, they are monitoring the pictures. And that's one of the things that I tell people, even my own grandchildren and my putting their babies on social media. All of these publications that you're doing with these children are drawing these sick folks. And I'm going to say it like that. And then also it's kind of hard because we have people who are trafficking children in some of our churches. I know some folks don't get mad at a girl, but it's real tough here. It's hard to decipher, okay? Because like I said, it's defined. And these sick peoples are in every walks of life. Mm-hmm. My thing is when you get into the spiritual aspect and you even have to watch your children in the church houses and things like that, because you've got sick people everywhere. We just can't put it in one location or just say, you know, my child is being trafficked, or I'm not trafficked, but being stalked in this arena. They are in every arena.
Okay? It's universal.
When it's thank you. It's universal when it comes to our children. One of the things is like we talk about the shoppers, you know, not just are women being followed, but like I said before, children are being abducted out of the care of their mother's arms. Okay. And it's been proven. I mean, the news shows this, right? To make people aware of their tactics. And also another way they abduct young ladies or children, because it's male and female now, it's just not daughters, it's sons as well. Okay, because they're using them for sexual appetites as well. My thing is that they have cars that are stationed and a man or whoever it is standing around waiting for somebody who maybe they follow for a couple of blocks or something like that. But what the gentleman, because it's two parties that are doing this, or maybe three, will grab the child or the teenager while they're walking down the street and put them in the car and they speed off. Okay. And so they have defined the way they, and also they're taking children even out of their own beds, for goodness sake, okay? So we have to broaden our horizons as far as training, teaching, and making people aware, because it's just sickening to me, because most times those children are never found. Mike, you said something. They're harvesting organs. That's black market, okay? So we have to, I think we need to get our heads up out of the cloud. We've been so desensitized about our surroundings. We've become very complacent and comfortable. I don't know how you folks feel, but it's disheartening that I tell my granddaughters, look, you don't let my babies run around in the store, okay? Don't let them go in another aisle without you watching, because I don't want to hear, because I'll go off, okay? I'm just being honest here. If one of my babies are abducted, okay? They're abducting women now, just not children. It's for specific reasons, for organs and for trafficking, for prostitution, for the whole nine. What do we do to make them aware, more aware of their methods? I just want to throw that out there.
Well, let me, if I can here, let me see if I've got the, thank you. I have specific training in predator and child abduction, or had, I guess I still have. And I learned that it takes 3 seconds to abduct a child, 3 seconds, 3 seconds. And if that child is abducted by a molester, child molester, that child is usually dead within 6 hours.
Wow.
And I'm trying within 6 hours, and within 24 hours, something like 85-90% of them are dead. So it's a very short window of opportunity. Once you know an abduction has happened to a child by a predator, you've got a very, very short window of opportunity to find that child before they're killed. 3 seconds to abduct a child. I watched a video from a supermarket where the child was sitting in the child seat, right? And mom parks the cart at the end of the aisle. She walks down the aisle to get her chips or whatever she was going after. And this guy snatched this child right up out of that seat and was gone. 3 seconds.
Look at that most recent, broadcast that there were twins that were adopted. I mean, taken. You guys remember that? This happened just maybe a couple of weeks ago or so. And luckily you had two ladies that were able to do a job, you know, that the investigators,
you know,
please go on. If somebody knows about that story, you want to chime in, or Brother Tisdale, jump in anytime you want.
Okay. It sounds like something that's going on with the audio, but I've heard everything. I'm going to jump in right here because something Mike talked about was the sixth sense. The sixth sense. You know, for me, the Holy Spirit is something that's so important to those who believe. Now, the evilness of this world is getting worse and worse as time progresses. That's why we can, I've probably said this before, I can't for the life of me even understand how a 13, 14 year old kid would have a automatic weapon to go into elementary school and kill someone. That has to be a demonically possessed individual. Now, that sixth sense, like Mike's talking about.
And where were the parents?
Wow. Oblivious of what was going on in their very home. Mm. And they were the ones, this kid was getting the money from his parents. How did he get the money?
Right.
You know, it's hard for me to believe that someone could be so absent from understanding what parenting should even look like. But in this world we live in today, do not take for granted that people were taught what you were taught. Because we have babies raising babies for the last 20 or 30 years. Mm. The Holy Spirit means nothing to them because they don't even have a connection, a spiritual connection back to the creator of this universe, which that's more important than anything. Because when we look at it, the evilness of this world come from us never bringing our flesh under the subjection of a greater power than ourselves.
Well spoken. Well spoken, brother.
Very good.
What about the law enforcement? You know, you see more evil because you have to deal with it. And when you come in contact with these people, they have no sensibility of what morality looks like.
Absolutely.
What about
Dr. Sims? Dr. Sims, 1 second. I'll let you continue. Hold on 1 second. And this is very important also. My brother, Sergeant, Master Sergeant Clayton, he was saying also, we're going to try to cover all of this if we can. He said there's also an international hand signal when you're in trouble. This signal is performed by holding one hand up with the thumb tucked into the palm, then folding the four fingers down, symbolically trapping the thumb by the rest of the fingers. It's also body language that you can use, okay? It said it has been effective in saving lives. Yes. And then we're going to get back to, Dr. Demery, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for joining us. And you jump in anytime you want. But Sergeant Moffitt or Mike, will you guys talk about signals, something that a victim can use to help save their own life?
I didn't use a lot, but you know, when you're talking to your loved ones on a daily basis, it's important for you to develop your own signs and signals for, you know, letting the other person know that you're in trouble. Or you need to have a plan. So when something does go wrong, what are you going to do if, you know, if you're confronted with an armed assailant, you know, when you got your family members right there, even if you are armed, you got to be careful. If you're carrying weapons and things like this, and you got your family members present with you as well, because when someone confronts you and you got to make a decision of whether or not to use that weapon or not, keep in mind, you know, you could be putting your family members in danger at the same time. So just make sure you've talked to them, you develop your own personal plan, especially people with, that you're with all the time. So that's where I would start as far as, you know.
Absolutely.
To protect yourself and your family members.
Okay. I want to go to Dr. Demery right now. And then, Mike, I want to come to you. Mike, I want to come to you in a second about this, okay? Because I'm loving this conversation, loving the dialogue. Dr. Demery, how are you, sir?
Please forgive me. I was having technical problems. I was talking to old Dr. Sims, and she was trying to help me out. So it worked out okay. I love you, Dr. Sims. You know I love you.
You know I love you, but I'm going to still get you for that black pepper thing in December. But I still love you, Dr. Demery.
Yes, I was having problems trying to get connected. I lost my email and all.
But you're here now. You're here now.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go to Mike, and then Dr. Demery, I'll come back to you, and I want your input. Mike.
Yes.
I'd like to talk about what Sergeant Moffitt was just discussing, is because that's important if you're carrying a gun, whether you're in law enforcement or you have your concealed weapons permit. And it's important that your family know certain key words. Like if I go to a when my son was young and we'd go to a restaurant, my wife and my son both knew the trigger word, and it's a really bad word, and it's a really bad word for a reason, because if I say that word, it's going to get your attention, because it's something I don't say, at least not in normal conversation. So if we're sitting, we're eating, and I see something happening, and I say this really bad word, My wife knows to grab my son and hit the exit.
Yeah.
Period.
That's good.
So
that's
they good. Knew my yep. trigger word. And if I would either go with them, or if it was bad enough that I thought I needed to put myself in the mix, then I might stay. But my wife and my son both know they're to hit the exit as quickly as they possibly can. So it's good to have a trigger word. It's also good if you go out with friends and your friends know that you carry, that you have a concealed weapons permit, the last thing you need them doing is spotlighting you. So let's say somebody comes into the Denny's and they're going to rob the Denny's. And your friends go, Mike, do something about it. Mike's got a gun. You know, wow. Now you just put me in the mix where he could have just robbed the place and got out of there. So you want to tell your friends, shut up. You know, if I have a weapon, nobody else needs to know. And my friends that I would go to dinner with or whatever, they know that carry, most of them carried as well. But we don't spotlight each other if we're carrying. Just that's what they got insurance for. Let them go. If it gets more serious than that, then you have to step it up. But it's on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Back to you, William.
Hey, Dr. Demery.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. You know the gist of the show. We're talking about situational awareness. We talked about Hollywood safety. You were there on the last broadcast when we talked about that. And we had our panel here. And I want to thank all of you, because I consider this, I don't flatter people. So, an esteemed panel. And folks, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening, share this with your friends. If you miss some of it, or if your friends miss some of it, go to the website, because you will hear this again. And I am passionate about this. This is probably the most, if not the most important show that we can ever put on. This is how we can keep each other safe. Okay. Dr. Demery, please chime in, sir.
Well, I want to say I'm so glad we have these two officers on. They're more, I would say, modern officers, because they weren't police officers. I was a cop back in the 70s. So I'm so glad they're updating this with all of the new information that's out, because back then when I was a cop, it was kind of like the wild, wild west. It was a different mindset, because back in the 70s, you know, when I was a cop, it was totally different the way they do law enforcement now. So I'm glad we have these two young men that are, and I can say that modestly, young men, because they're younger than I am. But I'm so glad that you guys are on the panel providing us with modern, you know, and updated information about that. But I think, like the gentleman was saying there, situation awareness is so important. Like for me, thank God I have my dog with me, and he's aware of everything. his sense of smell, routine, he helps me with my situation awareness. And I think that's so important, especially for ladies. When you go out to your car, you don't want to be walking out there in the middle of the night if you can help it. You want to park in a lighted area. Make sure that you're watching, you know, and being aware of your surroundings. I mean, because I do that. I mean, I'm as easy to take down as anybody being in a wheelchair, you know. So
I wouldn't count on that, folks. He's still over 300 pounds.
Well, you can't move like you can when you're on your 2 feet.
No, 300 pounds is 300 pounds. I don't care if you're a wheelchair or not.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, well, Brother Marfa, you know me by now. My job is to stir up controversy.
I'm going to come on you and Mike's show later on. I want to see how bad you really cut up. I want to get to know the audience.
Hey, ask Mike, because Mike and I, we cut up every Thursday night. And this is the thing about it. Hey, Mike, it's behind, like, it's Dr. Sim's show, right? And it's a spiritual show. And then you know how you do. Then you get over there and just act up. Hey, Dr. Sim,
it's just not him. Come on. I've seen you in action. I grew big.
But we have a great time. We have a great time.
You got me.
Hey, Mike. Hey, let me share this with the audience real quick. And then we'll get back to a more serious topic. Mike came on one night and we're playing music and just having a great time, right? And he said that he went to his, wife and said, Mike, you really need to embrace your mistakes. And she gave you a hug. Isn't that true? She said he hugged me. He wanted her to embrace his, yeah. So she hugged him. Okay. Anyway, back to you, Dr. Timmy.
Oh no, I'm just really glad that, we have these two esteemed panels on here, and I'm so sorry that I got in late, and I apologize about that.
You're already forgiven. But I want to go to Dr. Sims right now because you mentioned something early in the broadcast that you have a daughter. You also have granddaughters too, right? And yes. Then we start talking about this trafficked situation, and is that correct? Yeah, okay, good. So we move right along. Let's talk about
Ann or Dr. Sims.
Woman, hold it.
Ann or me?
I started with you, but then I wanted to correct something or a comment on something Ann has said because she was talking about how I mispronounced. I said trafficked or whatever I said. I don't care.
You're still mad.
I'm upset about it.
You're still mad.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
So
give him a lollipop and have him call us in the morning.
I'm calling you right after this show.
Oh, no.
All right. William,
no,
William, if
you're
helps,
not.
I'm oh sorry for,
goodness.
I'm sorry.
Hey, no, that's okay. You know I'm all right.
No, you're not. Obviously. It was an hour ago.
I know it was an hour ago, but I don't forget.
What kind of host would I be if I forgot?
All right.
But what kind of DJ would you be if you
no, were I don't, I don't, hey, Dr. Sim.
In Southern California?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I was apologizing, right?
He just cut you off. That
Look,
is
don't
so
get
wrong.
Ahead. That's just a meeting.
No, don't even start. This is a new year, Dr. Jerry. Oh my God. But listen, I did have a question in all seriousness. All seriousness. I don't know if you all heard the story about a 6-year-old who shot his teacher.
Yes, right here in Virginia.
And the police officer said it was not accidental.
It was not.
He brought the gun to school. And I believe Dr. Tisdale said, what parent, you know, that does not pay attention? It is spiritual. And then to see the child's face, it was totally demonic, Dr. Demery, okay? And holding that gun, his intentions was to shoot the child. Now, what's going on, too, folks, is that we're giving children too much open space with media. They're brainwashing our children, a lot of things, and we're saying we're parents. You know, doesn't pay attention to the child. Are you so busy that you don't see the characteristics of that child and what happens? Mental health is a real issues is a big issue here, a big part of what's going on right now. And I'm being, me personally, I'm being more conscious. Now, I share something with you, William, and William said I should have shared it. In me trying to find my niche in the work world, I shared with him that I worked for the police department for about 2 years in my very young life. And I worked homicide. And that's why I am so bent on. And a lot of people say, well, Dr. Sims, you don't have to be so tough. Well, guess what? Satan is tough. Okay. And he is not playing with us. He's not playing with who he's affecting. And yes, it is spiritual. And some of them, because of their upbringing, the domesticated life that they've lived, learned behavior, a lot of it's just mental issue, mental dysfunction. And the things that I've seen, and I was a real young woman. William, I shared this with you. So why didn't you share it? And I'm not bragging. It's just the fact that I was trying to find my niche in the career. Police force was not my niche, okay? But I did get the experience. And through that experience, I learned some things. Of course, that was many, many years ago. And I know a lot of things have changed. However, what I learned is still affecting me today because I'm seeing the escalation of things as far as regards to people's behavior and how they treat one another and what, you know, the distressors what causes people to tick off so quickly. And a lot of times it's because they have not faced the inner issues that has not been dealt with. And sometimes it streams from down. And I don't want it to sound like I'm scaring off, but I think it all goes hand in hand. Because for a person to cause harm on somebody like that,